Good morning, everyone, and a very happy new year to you all. Welcome to our worship this morning, whether you are with us in person or joining on Zoom. If you're visiting us for the first time, please do introduce yourselves and join us for tea, coffee, and conversation in the hall after the service. This morning, I bring you greetings from Grace Laird and family who are now living in Kenya. They particularly wanted to send their good wishes to you all. And finally, I'm delighted to welcome Paul Spray to lead our worship. Paul is a member of this church and a local preacher in the circuit. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Janet. Ooh. Just a word before we start about next week's service. Next week, we shall be doing for the service a reduced version of Alternativity, which is our very own musical written by Claire Matthews and Anthony Eddy, a musical for after Christmas, and everyone is invited and will be invited to join in the choruses. So we look forward to that. Our call to worship comes from Isaiah. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. Who would think that what was needed was a little child? Let's sing from the Orange Book, number 214, who would think that what was needed? I seem to draw the straw of leading worship on the 1st of January, which is a delight. And last time I did, I spoke about a hero of mine, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And this morning, I want to speak about two heroes, but particularly the one that whose picture is appearing now, Archbishop Dom Helder Camara, an archbishop in Brazil towards the end of the last century. He died in 1999. And he published a whole series of reflections in this wonderful book, A Thousand Reasons for Living. And one of them is called Grown-Ups Just Don't Understand. And it's about children and the importance of being a child. And you see, what happened was one day a mother had lost her key, house key, and she was convinced that it was the little boy who had it. So she got the boy to turn out all his pockets, and out of the pockets came all kinds of things. And she looked at it and said, "What a load of rubbish." And she got angrier and angrier. But the thing is that grown-ups just don't understand. Because this may look like a cotton reel, but actually, this is a satellite phone for when you're walking across a desert and run into trouble. But grown-ups wouldn't understand that. This is a piece of string. Yes, of course it's a piece of string, but it's also a magic extendable tightrope, which will go all the way from one mountaintop to another or across a raging torrent. But how could you convince your mother that that's what this was? And these pebbles, well, I mean, they're very pretty, but an adult wouldn't realize that these pebbles are actually moon rocks brought back by an astronaut. Clearly, they came from outer space. So what else was in the boy's pockets? Well, there was a bell. And when his mother saw that, she said, "Exactly. Well, that's the sort of bell that you ought to hang round your neck to show how silly you are." "But," says Archbishop Helder, "I wanted to tell his mother that actually this was a bell that was brought from the bottom of the sea by a fish. And it came up, and it's a bell for driving away sadness and for summoning joy. That's what it is." Exactly. Summoning joy. And what else? What else was in their pocket? Well, there was a bit of old cloth and a nail and a picture of Ed. Who is it? Do you know that?
No.
You won't know it? No? It's a picture of Ed Sheeran, obviously. Well, he had a picture of Bob Dylan, but I was trying to update it. So, well, I mean, what is all this stuff? Well, obviously, this is the tail of a kite. And a nail. Well, what is the adult? Well, what's a male? Nail. I mean, we don't have to worry about what a male. What's the mania about working it out? Well, you could use it for anything. You could use it, but before evening, you could use it for six different times. And as for the picture of Ed Sheeran, well, if you have to ask what that's for, I mean, that is really the end. Children just have to be so patient when they're dealing with adults. A prayer. also from Archbishop Helder. Child, dearest Lord Jesus, child of the manger, help me to wake the child asleep in me, the child deep down, deep in the most sober-minded, the most austere of people. Amen. Good. So I thought, since he's Brazilian, we might sing a Brazilian song. I think three people are going to come up and help teach it to you. And the pictures, the words, I hope will appear. As you can see, it's in Portuguese. But actually, that A at the end of cantica is wrong, isn't it? It's cantico. Cantico. So we'll try and remember that, but I'm sure God won't mind. So we'll sing it through twice, once in Portuguese, once in English, and then again in Portuguese, and then in English, if that's all right, Frank. Good. But we'll sing the first verse once, and then we'll start again at Cantai o Senhor. Cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantai o Senhor. Cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai o Senhor, cantai o Senhor. Oh, sing to the Lord, oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord, oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord, oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord, oh, sing to the Lord. Cantai, o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai, o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai, o Senhor, cantico novo, cantai, o Senhor, cantai, o Senhor. Oh, sing to the Lord, oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing God a new song, oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord. Thanks. This feels like a moment when the young people might go out. So we say to them, the Lord be with you. Our Bible reading today is the psalm set for today, which is Psalm 8, and I hope we've got some words for it. So where it says all, everybody, where it says A, perhaps this side, and where it says B, your good selves. So Psalm 8. Wonderful God, Creator, the whole earth declares your greatness. Your glory glows in the heavens. It is babbled by babies and sung by children. When I look at the sky which you have made, the moon and the stars that you set in place, you have made us only a little lower than yourself and crowned us with glory and honor. Wonderful God, Creator, the whole earth declares your greatness. And by way of a reflection, Frank is going to read us a meditation from Archbishop Helder.
All, absolutely all, by your grace, speaks to me of you. When I write, I ask in your hands to be the blank sheet of paper where you can write what you please. When I skim through a book, I feel acutely anxious that such a lot of words should not go fruitless, that no one should write without some happy message for the world. Every step I take reminds me that wherever I am going, I am always on the march to eternity. The din of human life, the dry leaves eddying on the ground, the passing cars, shop windows full of goods, the policeman on point duty, the milk float, the poor man begging, the staircase and the lift, the railway lines, the furrows of the sea, the pedigree dog and the ownerless dog, the pregnant woman, the paper boy, the man who sweeps the streets, the church, the school, the office and the factory, streets being widened, hills being laid low, the outward and the homeward road, the key I use to open my front door, whether sleeping or waking, all makes me think of you. What can I give to the Lord for all that he has given to me?
All makes me think of you. So let's sing again, 206 this time. Look up and wonder at the stars. 206 in the Orange Book. So, Archbishop Dom Helder Camara, you may think from what you've heard of him so far that he had a simple, even naive faith. And I think he did have a simple faith, but it drove him to action and to commitment. He was Archbishop of Recife in the northeast of Brazil from 1964 to 1985, a period of military dictatorship in Brazil when the poor were sore afflicted. And he got known, of course, of being the Red Bishop and so on. He encouraged peasants and slum dwellers to study the gospel in small groups and to decide, looking at the gospel, what it is that they ought to do or to ask for. He set up a credit union for ordinary people. He supported land occupations. Brazil is one of those places where there are enormous estates, and sometimes peasants without land would go and occupy them, farm them, and Archbishop Helder supported them. And like Pope Francis, he never lived in his bishop's palace. He never got dressed up in his sort of formal dress vestments and his posh hat. He just wore a cassock and a wooden cross. And he was a man of enormous influence in Latin America. He was Secretary General of the Bishops' Conference, and he went on to be very prominent in the bishops' meetings for the whole of Latin America, and was one of the ones who convinced the Catholic bishops of Latin America at the time to make an explicit option for the poor, to say that they believed that God was fundamentally on the side of the poor and could be found amongst the poor. So that was Archbishop Helder. And I met him once. Well, I heard him. I was 18, just out of school. And I went to an enormous student Christian movement congress in Manchester. There were 1,000 students there. And I was, for me, it was very exciting and very new. And the topic that was called Response to Crisis, and the crisis they were speaking about was world poverty. And on the third day, this tiny bishop came out and started speaking with a huge smile and very broken English. And this is some of what he said. And you have to remember that I was young and excited and I wanted a mission in life. And this is some of what he said. But I won't do it in the broken English Portuguese accent. Young people are very quick to spot the neo-colonialism denounced by Pope John. They know that political without economic independence is virtually worthless. They know that to attribute the very low economic level of developing countries to the incapacity, prejudice, and dishonesty of colored people, which is the word of the time, is to connive at the grave injustices committed by the developed people against the underdeveloped. Compare, for example, the very low prices which are paid for the primary products of the poor countries to the invariably high prices paid for the industrialized products of the rich. Capitalism, despite its championship of the human individual and freedom, is egoistic, selfish, and cruel. On the other hand, superpowers professing inspiration from Marx are as cold and egoistical as their capitalist rivals. They don't admit pluralism, They fear intelligence, liberty, creativity, and originality. You must create a multiracial world in which different races respect one another. You must change fundamentally the pattern of international trade and promote the development of all humankind. You must overcome paternalism. You must be afraid of one thing only, the fear of being afraid. Even though you may not know it, the greatest friend of all young people will be with you. This friend is capable of understanding your excesses, encouraging your generosity, and crowning your hopes with success. You will have a friend who will never deceive you, Jesus Christ. And I think that speech was probably the most important speech I ever heard in my life, and certainly determined the way I went. I think before we go on to the next one, let's have a quick burst of Sent by the Lord, which is 133 in this book. And my second hero for the day is also Brazilian. I've never met her. She is a Methodist minister in Brazil. That's her. She's called the Reverend Maria do Carmo Moreira Lima. But she's also known as Pastor Kaká Omowale, which of course is an African name, because she comes partly from an African heritage, as do many of the people amongst whom she worked, because Brazil was one of the places where so many African slaves were shipped to. And we have funded, through the World Mission Fund of the Methodist Church, to which we contribute when you pay up for JMA or whatever, we make grants, and one of the grants we made was to Pastor Kaká, that she might be paid for being a chaplain at a youth offenders unit, kind of prison for young people, in Rio de Janeiro, a prison where teenagers stay during the week, and at weekends they go back out to their homes. And a large part of her work consists in building peace between rival gang members at the youth offenders' institutions, people who come in with affiliations to one gang or another. And she works to use the gospel as a moral compass for the young men. And at weekends, they went back to the slums, which in that part of the world are called favelas, where at the time, and we're now talking about 2 years ago, the army was conducting a violent campaign, killing well over 1,000 people each year who were thought to be rubbish, young people to be removed from society. And because the World Mission Fund of the Methodist Church in Britain had funded her, she sent reports back each year. And I thought you might like to hear a bit from one of her reports.
In my work, through the mercy of God, it was possible to hear about the violence and also to accompany adolescents who were arrested by the army. I'll tell you about R. This boy came to our little group with a very heavy expression. And when we opened the floor to anyone who wished to speak, he told us about the memories that made sleep impossible. Many dead. Many dead. Little by little, I got to know the horrors of the army's intervention in the favela where he was. This boy was arrested by the army and beaten very much. His body was completely purple. Believing he was dead, he was thrown into the military car. He joined in our group, and little by little, we could see changes in the expression of his face and his speech. He was no longer the anguished boy with hatred and so on. The Holy Spirit was already acting inside. Really, we have many stories. In my pastoral ministry, I work with urban violence all the time. My aim is to welcome these adolescents and their families. It's a radical option, which often is not understood. But with my whole heart, I believe this is the call of the Lord Jesus for me. I get emotional when I say this. I get excited to see the potential of these teens. Our experience helps us look beyond the label they often receive, child of the devil, vagrant, and so on. It's hard being a teenager in a situation of poverty, violence, and fear, in a consumer society in which a person is valued for what they have and not by who they are. Understanding this, it's possible to understand the fascination these boys have for weapons, for the money, and the prestige that crime and drug trafficking offers. So we try to create an environment of active listening, committed to life, committed to the kingdom of God. I never forget that theirs is the kingdom of God.
Another burst of sent by the Lord, and this time we might sing it through twice. Sent by the Lord am I, my... our prayers of intercession. We pray first for those in prison, some who missed families this Christmas, some with no family to miss. Christ child, give them strength, hope, and moments of joy. And if you call us there, give us the will and the time to help. We pray for the oppressed, for people held back by lack of land, lack of resources, or lack of hope. Christ child, give them strength, hope, and moments of joy, and give us the will and the ability to help. We pray for those in the midst of conflict, remembering especially Ukraine and Tigray. Christ child, give them strength, hope, and moments of joy, and give our governments the will and the ability to help. We pray for those who are exhausted and tired out. Christ child, give them strength, hope, and moments of joy, and give us the will and the time to give them the space to recover. We pray for those who are anxious about the year ahead and what it may bring. Christ child, give them strength, hope, and moments of joy. And give us the love and the wisdom to reassure them on their way. And finally, for ourselves at Wesley Mem, as we prepare to begin our Everyone an Evangelist course, a prayer by Tom Schumann. May we not keep our blessings, but give them away, so that others may learn new dance steps and hear your voice, so children might be fed, so bridges might be built, and so grace may flow to all in your world. Amen. And let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as we enter a new year, let's sing 62 in the Orange Book, here on the threshold of a new beginning. 62. some last words from Archbishop Helder. I hope we can get his picture up again. Pilgrim, when your ship, long moored in harbor, gives you the illusion of being a house, when your ship begins to put down roots in the stagnant water by the quay, put out to sea, save your boat's journeying soul and your own pilgrim soul, cost what it may. And shall we say together the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.